was not, when you looked closely, stags or foxes. There were also group etchings, and more recently new-fangled iconographs of the guild, rows of smiling faces on black-clad bodies, and the youngest members sitting cross-legged in front, one of them making a face. There's always one. Down one side of the room was the big mahogany table where the elders of the guild sat in weekly session. The other side of the room held Cruce's private library and a small workbench. Above the bench was an apothecary cabinet, made up of hundreds of little drawers. The names on the drawer labels were in Assassin's Code, but visitors from outside the guild were generally sufficiently unnerved not to accept a drink. Four pillars of black granite held up the ceiling. They had been carved with the names of noted assassins from history. Cruces had his desk four square between them. He was standing behind it, his expression almost as wooden as the desk.
"I want a roll call," he snapped. "Has anyone left the guild?"
"No, sir."
"How can you be so sure?"
"The guards on the roof in Filigree Street say no one came in or went out, sir."
"And who's watching them?"
"They're watching one another, sir."
"Very well, listen carefully. I want the mess cleaned up. If anyone needs to go outside the building, I want everyone watched. And then the guild is going to be searched from top to bottom. Do you understand?"
"What for, Doctor?"
said a junior lecturer in poisons.
"For anything that is hidden. If you find anything and you don't know what it is, send for a council member immediately and don't touch it."
"But, Doctor, all sorts of things are hidden."
"This will be different. Do you understand?"
"No, sir."
"Good. And no one is to speak to the wretched watch about this. You, boy, bring me my hat."
Dr. Cruces sighed.
"I suppose I shall have to go and tell the patrician."
"Hard luck, sir."
The captain didn't say anything until they were crossing the brass bridge.
"Now then, Corporal Carrot," he said, "you know how I've always told you how observation is important."
"Yes, Captain, I've always paid careful attention to your remarks on the subject."
"So what did you observe?"
"Someone had smashed a mirror. Everyone knows assassins like mirrors. But if it was a museum, why was there a mirror in there?"
"Please, sir."
"Who said that?"
"Down here, sir. Lord Constable Cuddy."
"Oh, yes. Yes?
I know a bit about fireworks, sir. There's a smell you get after fireworks. Didn't smell it, sir. Smelled something else, sir."
"Well smelled, Cuddy. And there were bits of burned rope and pulleys."
"I smelled dragon," said Vimes.
"Sure, Captain?"
"Trust me," Vimes grimaced. If you spent any time in Lady Ramkin's company, you soon found out what dragons smelled like. If something put its head in your lap while you were dining, you said nothing. You just kept passing it titbits and hoping like hell it didn't hiccup.
"There was a glass case in that room," he said. "It was smashed open. Something was stolen. There was a bit of card in the dust, but someone must have pinched it while old Cruces was talking to me. I'd give $100 to know what it said."
"Why, Captain?" said Corporal Carrot.
"Because that bastard Cruces doesn't want me to know."
"I know what could have blown the hole open," said Angua.
"What?"
"An exploding dragon."
They walked in stunned silence.
"That could do it, sir," said Carrot loyally. "The little devils go bang at the drop of a helmet."
"Dragon," muttered Vimes. "What makes you think it was a dragon, Lance Constable Angua?"
Angua hesitated. "Because a dog told me" was not, she judged, a career-advancing thing to say at this point.
Women's intuition?" she suggested.
"I suppose," said Vimes, "you wouldn't hazard an intuitive guess as to what was stolen?"
Angua shrugged. Carrot noticed how interestingly her chest moved.
"Something the assassins wanted to keep where they could look at it," she said.
"Oh, yes," said Vimes. "I suppose next you'll tell me this dog saw it all." Roof!
Edward de Eth drew the curtains, bolted the door, and leaned on it.
It had been so easy.
He'd put the bundle on the table. It was thin and about 4 feet long. He unwrapped it carefully, and there it was. It looked pretty much like the drawing. Typical of the man, a whole page full of meticulous drawings of crossbows, and this in the margin, as though it hardly mattered. It was so simple.